Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into glory?' And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As he approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer, in the precious name of the Trinity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to be seated. All right, I've got my Bible experts. They've got their pages marked and ready to rock and roll on this as we go forward. We're going to be talking about recognizing him. Him who? Him Jesus, right? The gospel lesson that we just heard takes place on Resurrection Day. It's a great story. It's one I really look forward to talking about to start the Easter season off each year. And we're going to have an opportunity to experience an Emmaus communion tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about what that means as we get into unpacking some of the scripture that we just heard. So let's go ahead and just dig right in. We're going to start with Luke 24. I'll carry the Luke stuff. I've got my other folks. I don't remember who assigned what to, but I'll call on you when it's your time, okay? Luke 24:15 we just heard. As they talked and discussed, this is Cleopas and his traveling companion. What are they doing? They're leaving the holy city of Jerusalem. The Passover has been held. It was a special Passover. We heard that in our Easter Sunday reading, right? Because it was also a Passover that coincided with the Sabbath. Jesus has been put to death. Cleopas is identified in this story as traveling with somebody. We don't know who, but we kind of assume most biblical scholars believe it's his wife. And they're disciples. They're not one of the 11, but they're disciples. They're followers of Jesus. And they're dejected, they're down, and they're talking to each other about this as they're leaving the holy city. Their back is turned to the blessing of Jerusalem, right? It says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But the interesting part of the story is that they don't recognize it's Jesus. Not yet anyway, right? So Jesus walks up to them, and it reminds me of, who's my Genesis reader? Genesis, Miss Margaret, Genesis 3:8. It reminds me of this, that even when we are turning our backs on God, or when we are separated from God through sin, God doesn't separate himself from us. Genesis 3:8 tells us what?
Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
What's going on there? This is the story in Genesis of Adam and Eve, right? And the fall has taken place, yet at the same time, God is what? Walking with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Paradise. Now, in our story today, in the Gospel account of Luke in the 24th chapter, it says this in the 16th verse, but they were kept from recognizing Jesus. Ms. Margaret, go back and read us Genesis 7, verse 7 of chapter 3. Adam and Eve now realize that they're naked, they're exposed. Their sin is exposed. And they're trying to cover themselves up from this, right? And what's happening? They've recognized this sinful nature of themselves. But here's what's really cool. Skip down a little bit further, Miss Margaret. Give me one more verse, verse 21 of chapter 3, Genesis.
Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife. Them.
What has happened here? The Lord has provided for them in their time of need. Even in their time of separation through sin, it's God who actually covers them. Remember, they were trying to do it on their own before. But God is doing what? God is continuing to walk with them. It's a very neat prefiguration or pre-shadowing in the Old Testament of what's happening in our gospel today as the Lord is literally walking with Cleopas and his traveling companion. If we continue on in chapter 24 of Luke, it tells us, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So Jesus is going back into what? Not the New Testament, because that's not written yet. Right? He's in the Old Testament scriptures. He's in the Jewish scriptures, like Genesis, like the prophets, like the law. And he's pointing out to Cleopas and the traveling companion, look, this is the Messiah. Remember, it was talked about here. It was prophesied here. Isaiah said this. The Psalms say this. He's pointing out what's going on. And that's, I think, what I would call part one of divine revelation. It's available to all of us through the Word. Divine revelation through the Word. And if we keep reading the Word, Luke 24, 28 and 29 tell us this. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going to go further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day's almost over. So he went in to stay with them. If part one of divine revelation comes through the Word, part two of divine revelation comes to us via relationship. Our ability to be in relationship with the Lord, to be able to walk with the Lord. You can't have an intimate relationship with somebody that you don't talk to, that you don't spend time with. So that should be revelation to us. If we want the revelation of God in our lives, we not only need the Word of God, we need that intimate time with God. And then let's continue reading Luke 24, 30 through 31. When he was at the table with them, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. What does this sound like? Sounds like the Last Supper. Absolutely. Sounds like Holy Communion. It's the words of institution from the sacrament, isn't it? Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Their eyes were opened in the breaking of the bread, right? And that's our third divine revelation, right? We have divine revelation through the Word. We have divine revelation through intimacy, prayer time, talking, walking with the Lord. We have divine revelation by approaching his holy altar and receiving the grace of his sacraments. What's a sacrament? It's an outward, visible sign of an inward, invisible grace that's available to us through the sacrament. Let me ask you, this is a little trivia question. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. What does Bethlehem translate to mean? Anybody know? Yeah. Now, Jerusalem would be the New Salem. Bethlehem translates to mean house of bread. The bread of life literally was born in the house of bread, the city of bread. So we have this beautiful picture of Holy Communion being celebrated on this first resurrection day, but I don't know if you noticed, there's something missing. The wine was missing. What's up with that? Who's got Matthew? Miss Debbie, read to us from Matthew 26, verses 28 and 29. 26 verses 28 and 29.
This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Jesus says, I'm not going to drink wine anymore until I'm doing it in my Father's kingdom. Interesting. Is he keeping his word? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, who's got Luke? Who's Luke? Did I give a Luke to anybody? Oh, I said I had Luke. Huh? Okay, Luke 22. Well, we're in Luke 24. If we go back to Luke 22, verse 18, Jesus says this, "For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." So it's a restatement of exactly what we just heard in Matthew's gospel account. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until I come again in my glory, right? But remember those scriptures from our Good Friday service. Jesus is journeying to the cross. He gets to the cross. He's nailed to the cross. And he says, I thirst. And what happens? What do they offer him? Kind of, yeah, they say, we'll offer him wine, huh? Yeah. Who's got John? Who's in John? You got John, Mr. Stan? Give us John 19, verse 29. John 19, verse 29.
A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked sponges in it, put the sponge on a stake, and aspirin plant, and lift it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
So they've offered Jesus wine on the cross. They put it up to him, and it's John's gospel account describes it as a jar of wine vinegar. Matthew addresses this too. Who's got Matthew? Miss Debbie, what's Matthew say in 27 and 48? Matthew 27, verse 48.
Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink.
Wine vinegar. Interesting that they're not calling it wine. They're calling it wine vinegar. Who's got Mark? Mark 15, verse 36, Mr. Bob.
Someone ran, filled the sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said.
Interesting. So they're offering what we always say is wine to Jesus, even if he sips it. What's really going on here? It's old wine. What happens when wine gets old and spoils? It's no longer really wine, is it? It's vinegar. It's nasty old vinegar. And think about it in terms of old wine, new wine, old wineskins, new wineskins. We've got a brand new covenant happening here in the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's true to his word. He does not take of the fruit of the vine. Even when they forced it upon him, it wasn't even fresh wine. It had turned to vinegar. Let's continue on with our gospel reading tonight. Luke 24:31 says this, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is after he breaks the bread. Catch these words though. He disappeared from their sight. He disappeared from their sight. So we said if part one of divine revelation is the word, part two of divine revelation comes through intimacy, prayer time, walking with the Lord. Part three comes through the sacrament, receiving the grace of God that's available through Holy Communion. Word, relationship, and sacrament yield something. When they come together, they yield faith. Faith. Jesus has disappeared from their physical sight, yet they continue to believe, don't they? Don't they go off and tell the story to the 11 of what they experienced? Who's got Luke? I got Luke. Luke 24, 32, 35. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11, those with them, assembled together and said, it's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon Peter. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. It's an incredible story, the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and it's a perfect setup for this coming Sunday's lectionary gospel readings too. So here's your teaser for Sunday, right? But wait, there's myrrh. No. Come to church on Sunday to find out the rest of the story. I'm going to give you a couple of quotes. John 20, verse 25. You're going to hear this on Sunday. So the other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. Who are they talking to? Anybody remember? It's your first Sunday after Easter reading. The story of Thomas. Thomas is going to doubt. Let me keep reading. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where his nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. And then verse 27, it says, then Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand, put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Have faith, right? Word, intimacy, sacrament yields faith. What happens in verse 28? Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Thomas doesn't reach out. Thomas doesn't have to have his physical proof by putting his hand in Jesus' side. He declares who Jesus is by faith. My Lord and my God. And listen what Jesus says. This is really cool. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. My brothers and sisters, may you recognize and receive him by faith tonight in thanksgiving as you receive his body in the bread. Hallelujah and amen.